control, searching for the depth of my own soul. I bleed and fall beneath, my cover keeps the red from leaking. I'm bleeding on the inside, fear before the fall. 6 feet above the next time, I lose it all.
Alien Podcast, with your hosts Paul Mano and Matt McAfee. The Betty and Barney Hill Abduction, Episode 6.
Welcome to another episode of the Alien Podcast. My name's Paul, and this is my cohort, Matt. We're going to be discussing Barney and Betty Hill. It should be a pretty good episode, I think. We're not going to really go into too much detail about the Hill story, as much as how much we think that it is true, as where a lot of people think that it wasn't true. But if you take a look at the big picture of it all, it's pretty hard to argue against it, really. So we're going to jump into that, you know, kind of come out with some points and stuff that you really never hear, or have you never heard. I've never heard. And that's one thing we're going to try to do on this podcast with a lot of stuff that we talk about. We're not going to so much give you the story, because a lot of the stories people already know. What we're wanting to give you is opinions and theories on why things happened for the reason they did and how they did. Some people may not like them. Some people might. But we're not going to keep telling the same old stories that you're hearing on every other podcast that's out there. And I think we have some theories that most people have never heard before. I think most people should find it pretty interesting. We'll give like kind of a rough outline of what the Hill story was all about. And, you know, and then we'll kind of get into some of our ideas on whether it happened and why it happened and how these people actually came out with this story. And in the end, I think you're going to find our theory a little bit interesting. So if you would, Matt, you want to go ahead and get us started on that. We'll jump right into it.
The story about Barney and Betty Hill happened in 1961. Barney and Betty Hill were up in Canada on a vacation, and they were on their way back to New England. They were driving down the highway at nighttime.
And if you don't mind, let me interrupt you for just a second.
Sure.
If you can make it through this whole podcast without saying Benny Hill at least once.
Oh, thanks a lot, man. Now I'm going to be stuck with Yakety Sax in my head all night.
If you can make it, you'll get a gold star at the end of the night. So we'll see if we can both make it through this without saying Benny Hill at least one time. So back to what you were saying.
Great. Now I've really got to watch what I'm saying. Okay.
Yeah.
Back to it.
Kind of tripped you up there a little bit.
Yeah, you did. Barney and Betty were on their way back from vacation in Canada. And as they were driving down the highway in the middle of the night, Betty began looking out the window. The moon kind of caught her eye. So she was looking out the window and happened to see another light, which was following the car. She told Barney about it. Barney kept on driving. They stopped, I believe it was three times in total. All three times, they had different experiences. The first time, the light was getting closer to him. The second time, Barney said he saw the saucer shape. He got out of the car. He happened to have a pair of binoculars on him. He looked through the binoculars at the saucer. He claimed to have seen a window, and I believe it was five life forms standing in the window. He said that all of a sudden, four of them turned around. He walked back, and he saw them put their hands up in the air. He freaked out, for lack of a better term. And he got back in the car, and they drove like hell to get away, and they ended up, they stopped the third time where they were actually abducted. Both of them later on ended up going through memory regression with a hypnotist, very highly credited hypnotist. I'm sorry, I can't remember the doctor's name offhand right now. This hypnotist specifically worked with veterans. He was well known that he worked with a lot of World War II veterans who were having a hard time readjusting after the war and dealing with some of the things that they had seen during war. In his words later on, he said that Barney and Betty Hill had both experienced things that were every bit as traumatic as any veteran he had ever worked with. Barney was a World War II veteran. He had, I'm sure, had seen a lot during World War II. I think one of the more important things was whenever he underwent hypnosis, it scared the absolute hell out of him, even worse than what war had done. Barney was absolutely terrified. Next memory was they were back on the highway driving back home. They had thought that, I believe, only a short time had passed, but after they got back on the road, started driving back home, they realized that several hours had actually passed. They were really frightened. However, I think Betty dealt with it, seemed anyway, from the recordings of her sessions. It seemed like Betty sort of dealt with things with a little bit of humor in certain aspects. Now, there were things that happened during their abduction, some of the experiments which were conducted on them, that I find to be some of the most compelling evidence for it happening. I know a lot of people have tried to debunk Betty and Barney Hill, especially whenever the movie An Interrupted Journey, I believe was the name of the movie. I may be off on the name of that.
No, that's correct.
I know a lot of debunkers sort of come out of the woodwork after that, and a lot of it had to do with the memory regression hypnosis that they had undergone. I question a lot of things about it. And like I said, this happened in 1961. One of the things that I very specifically haven't brought up yet, because I think it's very important to get their story out there first so that people have at least a skimmed overview of what the story is. But Betty and Barney Hill were an interracial couple in 1961. I think that that is extremely important to the overall story. There's a reason why Barney and Betty lived where they did in New England. It was really a small town. Why? Because they were trying to get away from drawing attention to themselves, because 1961 was not a friendly era to people who were in interracial relationships like that. That was the very first thing. You and I both questioned that, Paul, when we right. started talking about it, was who the hell in 1961 is going to want to call attention to the fact that they're an interracial couple, much less everything that's going on. People are going to say one of two things. People are going to say, back then, they were ignorant racists. And I'm not saying that, of course, racism is gone now. But back then, it was a hell of a lot worse. If they would have drawn that attention, people would have said they were doing this simply to draw attention to the fact that they were an interracial couple. They were doing it for some type of civil rights movement. I don't think that that was the case at all. I think, if anything, they had proven up to that point that they were trying to live normal life. They were simply trying to live quiet lives. They definitely were not trying to draw attention to themselves.
No, I don't think they were either. I can't seem to think of any reason why at that time an interracial couple would want to attract attention like that. Because for one, not only would you attract attention just because of the fact that you're an interracial couple, but the fact that you would have everybody raising the point that, well, here you're an interracial couple, and you're also telling us that you've been abducted by aliens. Now, back then, I think the ridicule would have been pretty bad just because of the fact that, let's face it, they lived in a small town, probably where everybody almost knew everybody or did know everybody. So it's not like you're going to come out and say that you were abducted by aliens and then blend into a city that has 4 million people. In a small town, right. You're not going to blend in. I mean, you're already an interracial couple, which doesn't blend in anywhere at that time. And you know you're going to call down a lot of ridicule on yourself by coming up with this story. So that, to me, tells me right there that this story is, I think, it's legit just because of the fact that you're not going to do that. I mean, you always hear of other people saying, you know, well, I don't want to come forward with my story because everybody will think I'm crazy. Okay. Well, here, these people were already interracial, and then you want to be called crazy on top of that? No.
It was widely known back then that they had told their family members that they did not want any of it to become public. And what happened was in 1975, it somehow did get leaked out to the public. Betty and Barney decided at that point to go ahead and get their story out there because they had seen some articles in newspapers about them that had the story wrong, and they wanted people to have the truth. So that's when they actually came out. They came out 4 years later. If they were actually trying to seek attention for themselves, why didn't they do it in 1961? Why did they wait 5 years? It just didn't make any sense for them to do anything like that. That is another thing right there that really proves the point that they did not want the attention.
No, I don't think they did either. I think they had some kind of an ordeal happen to them, and I just think that somebody like that would want to keep things as quiet as they possibly could and not to draw down all the attention on them.
And I think that something that also lends a lot of credit to it are the experiments that were conducted that Betty described in great detail. Specific experiment that I'm talking about was when the alien that she referred to as the examiner came into the room with a giant needle on a syringe. She said she remembered thinking, what is he going to do with that? He's not going to stick me with that. The one that she referred to as the leader who would speak through, telekinesis to her, he said, it's all right. You won't feel any pain. He said, he's doing a pregnancy test. She said, that's not a pregnancy test. It went on where this examiner, they told her that they were going to stick this needle in her navel. She was like, oh, hell no, this isn't going to happen. Well, he went ahead and did it. She said the pain was excruciating. But somehow the one that she called the leader put his hand on her forehead and all the pain went away. Now, what I find interesting about that was in 1961, there was no pregnancy test which involved a needle like that. However, during the 1970s, when other tests come out, we know that that can be done. There was actually two procedures that could be done by sticking a needle in through the navel. This was unheard of in 1961. So that tells me right there was no way in hell she could have ever known what an advanced medical procedure was going to be like. There is absolutely no way of doing that. And then the other thing that also lends a lot of credibility to it is her star map. She asked the leader where they were from. He pulled out what we now know as a tablet. He showed her a star map on the tablet. She went into great detail. She drew out a copy of the star map. Everybody looked at it and said, no, we don't know what this is. There happened to be a member of Mensa who believed in Betty and Barney so much that she began to actually build models from Betty's sketches. Every time they would come out with a new book, she was updating this model that she had. Finally, years later, she was actually able to create an exact model, which pointed to it being Zeta Reticuli. Of course, Carl Sagan, he had a very famous episode for coming out against that star chart, saying it really could be anything. We could have turned that into anything. Well, I'm sorry, that was bullshit, because she knew something about the Zeta Reticuli systems that no one else knew at the time, and that was the fact that it was a binary system. We did not know that Zeta Reticuli was a binary system. Whenever it was discovered that it was a binary system was when they were able to make that connection and say, that's what she was doing. That's what she drew out. Zeta Reticuli 1 and 2, she was able to draw out both of those, which is an amazing thing. And then years later, in I believe it was the 1980s, she was also able to draw hieroglyphics, some of their writing. And that writing was matched by other scientists. And they said, wow, this looks pretty much identical to people who have had other experiences. This looks almost identical. This was the time back really before the internet. You didn't have computers to be able to look this shit up. You had simply a handful of people that had this information. There was no way that Betty could have looked that up. She had to have found it from somewhere else. And then to be able to describe a modern day tablet, that's unheard of. How in the hell could somebody know this stuff about the future? Not to even mention a medical procedure that didn't come up for years. I really think that there's a lot to it. Not to mention the physical evidence that they had. Her dress being ripped. I believe that there was a concentration of radiation that was found on both of their clothing. Barney was an impeccable dresser. Barney's shoes were scuffed up so bad that he wouldn't even wear them anymore. He started wearing those dress shoes to mow his grass in because he couldn't wear them to work anymore because they were scuffed so badly that there was no way he was going to be able to fix them. He had to go out and get a new pair of shoes. And little things like that. Betty also talked about when her and Barney were taken to separate examination rooms in the UFO. She said all of a sudden, the one that did all of the experiments on her come back in and he started pulling on her teeth. And she asked the leader, what is he doing? And the leader said, we're confused. We don't understand why Barney's teeth are removable and yours aren't. Who the hell is going to make that up? They knew that Barney had false teeth. Who the hell is going to think to make up a stupid little story like that? That they would come back in and try to pull out her teeth? You would have to spend years thinking shit out to come up with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, coming up with some of this would be really be kind of difficult to come up with. And not only that, what do you have to gain from it?
You're bringing a world of trouble down on yourself being an interracial couple at that time.
Just the ridicule of saying you've even seen a UFO, much less being abducted by the occupants of it. The story is too deep for them to have come up with. And there's no benefit to coming up with the story. I've looked at it from all the angles. I can't see any reason why you would make up a story of this kind to draw down all that attention on yourself when you really wouldn't. Most people wouldn't want to or wouldn't want the attention on them like what would happen with this. I mean, not only are you going to be called crazy, but you're also going to be called liars on top of it. And you're going to be called liars publicly.
And a lot worse back then.
Right. So I don't really see what there would be to gain from doing all this. It's not like you were going to make millions off of a book. You weren't going to make millions off of movies. I don't see what the upside to this would be. I really don't.
No, I can't see it either.
And the story is, if they did hoax it, boy, they spent some time coming up with it. Or they had somebody write it for them. It's more of a story than I could come up with. Nowadays, you come up with something like that, you're going to leave something out. And I don't think they left anything out.
No, I don't think so either. And the fact that they did have physical evidence with Barney's shoes, the cord to his binoculars was broken.
Right.
Barney had a gun in the car. And at one point, he thought about getting that gun out. But he was so scared that he thought that it would just be completely futile to do that.
And it would be. I mean,
oh, yeah,
what are you going to do? These people came from billions of miles away, and you think they don't have something better than what you got? Okay.
Right.
I believe it. I think it was a true story. I don't think there's any reason for them to lie. I think they had more to lose than they did to gain by lying. So, yeah, given the time, because even nowadays, interracial couples are still not. I mean, they're just now maybe becoming acceptable. Not totally
right.
Condoned now, but acceptable. And back
right.
then, that was totally unacceptable back then. Now, they say that their family and their friends had no issue with it. That's them. That's not general public. And you know the general public was always going to frown on that.
I have friends of mine right now that are in interracial relationships. They still to this day do experience it, not nearly as often as what they used to, and certainly not as much as what Betty and Barney would have gone through. But it was just, I couldn't even imagine what that would have been like for them, because
right.
that had to be extremely difficult for them to even come out with that. It really would.
Yeah. Or back then, just to show your face in public.
Yeah, it took a lot of courage. It really did.
You look at the, you know, stories like Travis Walton has. It's the people in that town thought they were all liars. And here they didn't have any kind of interracial thing that they were involved in. And that was almost 15 years later. So you can just imagine what it was like in 1961. It
right.
had to have been a lot worse than the 70s and a lot worse than it is now. So I wasn't alive at that time, but everything that I've read would suggest that it wasn't something that you really wanted to do, and unless you really, really wanted to do it. So I believe the story to be true. I'm not going to call BS on any of it. I may call BS on some of the people that ridiculed it. I'm not going to use names on that. I think some of them, I think they call BS on everything they see, but
yeah, they do.
I'm not
going to
call
really
BS
do.
On that.
No, me either. I'm 100% convinced that something happened there.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. And I think it all happened at least the way that they described it and from what they can remember and from what any regressions they had. And, you know, and we made it through this whole thing without saying Benny Hill.
Which is the amazing part.
So, you know, I know you were probably thinking it.
Oh, yeah. Every time I would say Barney's name, I kept yeah. just repeating in my head, don't say Benny. Don't say Benny.
Yeah. So you were probably thinking Benny and Benny Hill.
Sounds like a law firm when you put it like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
To find out more about the show, or promptly send your death threats, or for your free, no-obligation anal probe, please visit alienpodcast.net.